This is Francis Whittleson.
This is Benjamin Anderson.
This is Dallas Alexander.
I'm Alex Craner.
This is Forrest Moretti.
This is Chris Sims.
This is Chris Barber, and you're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, folks. Happy Wednesday, hump day. How you all doing? We're cruising along here. We got a fun one today. A guy who's been on the show many, many times, and I think you all know who Tom is, but we'll get to that. Before we get there, how about Blaine and Joey Steffen, Guardian Plumbing and Heating? Go back to episode 337 if you want to get a feel for them. They're always looking for employees, workers. You know, it seems to be a common thread here. Looking for good people. And what makes them different? They're going to tell you a whole bunch of ins and outs of 7 days on, 7 days off, blah, 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 blah. I tell you what makes them different, folks. And I'm going to beat this drum till the cows come home. And that is, when things got to their absolute worst, they let you do your thing. They stuck up for their workers. They didn't force anything on them. And I think that's pretty cool. Certainly, there's other businesses that did exactly that. But there's so many that we all know that did not. And if you go to Guardian Plumbing and Heating, you're looking for work. You know that they're going to have your best interest at heart. They also offer great benefits, awesome wages, great team, and they're looking for plumbers, HVAC techs, installers, and apprentices. So, you want to find out more about what they do, guardianplumbing.ca, where you can schedule your next appointment at any time. And, of course, get in touch with them and see exactly what they're all about. The Deer and Steer Butchery, their butcher shop here in the Lloydminster area, located just between here, Lloyd and Kitscotty. So if you're looking for, you're looking to get an animal done, they're ready to roll for you. And Sean was just talking to Brian, and I think here in April we're going to sneak in. Last year, I talk about this all the time. Me and Brian were just talking about it, and he's like, nobody's really, not too many people are that interested. I'm like, I don't know. I think a lot of people are interested. They've probably never been, and they got to get over that little fear hump of like, do I want to give up part of a day to go help butcher an animal? The answer is yes, folks. The answer is yes. I'm telling you, I'm going to go back in April. I probably have lots of listeners who already do this, and I'll probably hear about it on the text line. And sure, fire me a text. But I got to be honest, I never grew up doing it. It was kind of a weird, set of circumstances, I guess, where Dad went trucking and Sean missed out on all the hunting and all that type of stuff. And on the side of being able to go into the butcher shop when you're getting your meat done and partake, have a little bit of fun with it, learn a little bit, see how it's done. I think it's so invaluable alongside everything else. So if you're looking to get an animal done, give them a call, 780-870-8700. And Sean really thinks getting your hands in the mix for it as well is a cool experience that they offer. And I think you won't be disappointed. That's a Deer and Steer Butchery. Erickson Agro Incorporated, Irma, Alberta. That's Kent and Tasha Erickson, family farm, raising four kids, growing their food for their community and this great country. And they've signed on to the podcast just to support this Yahoo, That's pretty cool, and I appreciate the support from Irma. If you're around Erickson Agro, make sure you stop in, say hello. I got to get out that way and do that same. I tell you what, Erickson family, and I guess I should give a pointed Kent and Todd. Anyways, I'm like, I don't know what you set off in Irma, or maybe Irma has always been a bit of a hotbed, but Irma's been texting the crap out of me the last little bit, and I appreciate it. The old, I don't know what it is. I don't know what Irma has in the water that has got them listening to the old SMP. Maybe we're more aligned than one would like to admit, or maybe one should admit. Either way, it's been cool. I think it's freaking awesome. But within the span of like a week, it was the Erickson's, and then it was another, and then it was another, and then it was another. I was like, what's going on in Irma? I'm going to have to take a little road trip down there. Obviously, we know all about their sports history and certainly some of the talent coming out of the area. Either way, that's, neither here nor there. Jim Spenrath and the team at Three Trees Tap and Kitchen. They've been doing their live music where you can go in, get your meal, and as Tuz would say, they got the great, just fantastic food. He's not wrong. They have great food. But they also, if you creep them on social media, they've been having different local acts come through, play a set for a couple hours, usually on a Thursday or Friday night. And certainly here in the Border City, that's pretty unique. I mention it all the time, and I apologize for repeating myself, except, you know, it just sticks out that, you know, like here in town, we just don't have a lot of live music. And to go and sit and listen to live music and you know, kind of, you know, be in fellowship or whatever, on a date or whatever. You know what I mean. Jeez, I'm butchering it today. But regardless, if you're looking for a little live music, a great meal, then I suggest you call and get a reservation. Take that special someone out, 780-874-7625. Plus, you're not going to find anyone better than, like, Jim's top notch. Like, the guy is an absolute beauty. Either way. The SMP presents March 18th. It is closing in fast, and obviously looking forward to it. And I hope we'll see a few of you folks there. If you haven't bought tickets yet, in the show notes, the link is there. We got Kid Carson flying in from Vancouver. You got Wayne Peters coming in from Winnipeg. You got Byron Christopher out of Edmonton, and you got Chris Sims here in Alberta. So you got four people coming in from all over the place talking legacy media. It is going to be a fun night. I'm excited for it. I hope to see you all there. If you're looking to, you know, team up with the SMP, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we still got a few spots left. And would love to have you on board. Gartner Management, they're a Lloydminster-based company specializing in all types of rental properties to help meet your needs, whether you're looking for a small office such as this guy, or you need, you got a little bigger needs. You need a little extra space. Give away to call 780-808-5025. Let's get on that tail of the tape brought to you by Hancock Petroleum. For the past 80 years, they've been an industry leader in bulk fuels, lubricants, methanol, and chemicals, delivering to your farm, commercial, or oil field location. For more information, visit them at hancockpetroleum.ca. He's a former radio man who covered politics for dailies in Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton. He was a Beijing correspondent for the South China Morning Post of Hong Kong. He's now the managing editor of Blacklock's Reporter. I'm talking about Tom Korski. So buckle up. Here we go.
This is Tom Korski, and you're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Well, welcome to the Sean Newman Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Tom Korski. So, Tom, it's great to have you back again. It's been a little bit.
Thank you, Sean.
You know, anytime I see a Canadian headline now that has anything attached with money, all I think of is Blacklock's, and you come top to mind. So, you know, China just seems to be looming ever more present in our country, and I'm like, well, it's high time I got Tom on. And hear what Blacklock's has to say about it, what Tom has to say about it.
Well, it's interesting. This is the longstanding allegations of Chinese interference by Communist Party agents. And these allegations go back several years. You know what's interesting about it? You say, well, why is this all of a sudden getting pretty hot? And it is on Parliament Hill. And the reason is because there were a bunch of safeguards put in, Sean. And the people who were in charge of those safeguards, election monitors, didn't do their job. I'm sorry, it's just that plain. They didn't do their job. And so now MPs are taking the job away, and they want to get a judicial inquiry. Very rare in this country. On this subject, foreign interference in Canadian political affairs, we haven't had one of those since 1946. That was the old Soviet spy ring, Igor Gusenko, right here in Ottawa. It was huge. So that's how long, that's how extraordinary this is. Well, what do we know for sure? No supposition or allegations. What do we know as fact? Well, we know in the 2019 and 2021 elections, there were serious people who made substantive allegations that Chinese foreign agents, Communist Party stooges, interfered in the election or re-election campaigns of certain MPs. Two ridings have been named. One is Don Valley North in Toronto. The other is Steveston Richmond in British Columbia. But there were more that are alleged. We know that those serious people took those allegations to what was really the police. Federal Election Monitor set up. Very high people involved in that task force. Privy Council Office, that's the head of the federal bureaucracy, the RCMP, Department of Foreign Affairs, very serious people. The Federal Spy Agency, Canadian Security Intelligence Service, they have a person on that task force. What did that task force do with these allegations? They did nothing. So, what do we know for else? We know that when asked why they didn't do anything, they stare at their shoes. They have done this in parliamentary hearings and say, well, I don't know. It was complicated, Sean. It was a hectic time. Maybe in hindsight, we could have played it sharper. This is the unbelievable part. Think about that. Someone called the fire commissioner and said, look, I see smoke coming out of a warehouse. Could be fire there. And the fire commissioner did nothing. And then came up with a lot of excuses. Well, could it have been some other manifestation? How do we know there was a fire? That makes people upset, angry, and suspicious. MPs on this subject, very bad-tempered and excitable. They're fed up. What did they do? Committee called the House Affairs Committee last week and voted 6-5. This is Conservative, Bloc, and New Democrat opposition members in lockstep. They had the vote 6-5 over Liberal objections. Cabinet has gone to the ends of the earth to avoid this. Send a report back to the House, and what does the motion say? You want a public inquiry? Take all the time you need. We are going to agree mutually on the judge who will run it. You will have subpoena powers, compel documents, compel testimony under threat of perjury. There you will have witnesses and, for our purposes, more importantly, documents that must be disclosed to the public on what the allegations were, why nobody looked into it, and what the truth is. It's going to be a box of fireworks, Sean.
Well, I hear another inquiry, and I'm curious, what are you excited about that? I know if you go to the last inquiry that we just had, certainly the entire process was fascinating, hearing all the different testimonies, seeing, I'm sure for your side, Tom, all the documents come out was fascinating. I can't even, maybe even illuminating. Like that was the best part. I don't think for a lot of people, the final verdict was what anyone wanted to hear or see. But in saying that, coming to another inquiry, does that make you, are you happy about this, Tom? What are your thoughts?
Well, this is what transparency is. This is about what the Chinese did. Of equal importance, it's what Canadians did. What did the Canadian police agency, what did the election monitors do? You hit on this is the key. Documents. Foreign testimony, you know, I understand it's highly compelling. For our purposes, the documents are gold. I know that there were people disappointed. But the final report was out of the Public Order Emergency Commission. That doesn't change the fact. The documents were absolutely fascinating. You found out your federal department of finance minister was sitting in secret conference holding hands with the Canadian Bankers Association, musing about whether to put troops on the border to deal with truckers at Coots, Alberta, and Windsor, Ontario. Can you believe that? You found out through the documents of that commission that you had an Attorney General of Canada, Attorney General Lametti, fantasize in a text with the Public Safety Minister about deploying tanks against these unarmed protesters outside Parliament. Well, that's gold. You just learn more about your government than you will by reading their election platform. That's what you're going to get in this inquiry. I think MPs are of a sense that there's no choice. But anytime there's more transparency and you can find out what powerful people were thinking, saying, and doing in real time in black and white, because they are compulsive emailers and texters, oh, well, that's just a great day for the ratepayer and democracy. I think it's absolutely fantastic for transparency.
When I hear you put it that way, yeah, it does. I'm excited to see what Blacklock brings up out of it. I've said this multiple times, and when you come on, I really enjoy how you guys tackle the different stories. But I have this ever sense growing in me that when it comes to the Liberals and Trudeau, they are the slipperiest of slippery. It doesn't matter how much transparency you have, Tom, or for you know, maybe even the conservatives are somewhere in there too. I shouldn't just bash on one, but I mean, when I stare at the liberals, I stare at some of the things they've done, some of the things they've said, some of the meetings you're talking about, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And yet, here they sit. Nothing seems to be changing, at least from my little perch, which isn't saying much. And I just go, do you think at some point, all this transparency, something sticks and it just won't relent? Or are you seeing something different than me?
Well, I appreciate your gracious compliments. I'll say this, Sean. There's no question in the past that members of all parties were alarmed by interference in Canadian elections. This has been raised for years. But there's no question they didn't really want to get into it and start pulling little threads. Because when you start pulling those threads, you don't know where it's going to go or who could get hurt. They finally changed their mind because it got too bad. It got so dreadful. And those election monitors who were appointed to investigate these claims were so incompetent that they felt they didn't have a choice. And I agree with them. They don't have a choice. You can't walk away from this. One other thing. I understand the Prime Minister said he doesn't want an inquiry. That's too bad. Because I'll tell you how it's going to go. I'm not getting lost in process. You may find this interesting. Committee motion says, thy will be done. We want an inquiry into this. You take 2-3 years, whatever. We're getting to the bottom of it. That will go to the House of Commons as a whole. And there will be an MP someday, very soon, could happen, any minute now, will stand in the House and say, I move concurrence in that report. We know all three opposition parties with over 170 votes have the votes to pass it. If the Prime Minister doesn't want to call an investigation then, now you're getting into Nixon country, because cabinet doesn't run Parliament. Parliament doesn't answer to cabinet. It's the other way around. And if we're going to have rule by cabinet, then we don't need elections anymore. My friend, if they want to try that, horn honking outside the Prime Minister's office will be the least of their troubles. So I think you're going to get an inquiry after indignation and bluster is not going to save these people. And we're going to get the whole truth. We know what part of the truth is already. The election monitors are useless. Elections Canada is a completely useless body. It has not done its job. The federal election monitors were worse than useless. They received complaints and they didn't tell the world.
Tom, you ever think about running for politics?
No, I'm terrible in meetings, Sean. Really, and I mean really bad. I'm very disruptive in meetings.
It's funny. I listen to you talk, though, and there's so many different people, not just yourself, in media or just kind of keeping their finger to the pulse of what's going on, that really have a good way of explaining the problems and getting right, you know, being very blunt about this is where it's got to go. You give me some hope for the coming years. And saying that, when you're talking an inquiry, you know, this isn't like it has to be done in the next year. We're talking this could take some time. And I always say this with politics. This is one of the, maybe I was naive. I probably was very naive. Probably all of us were very naive. But when I look at politics, you know, you want things to happen in a month's time. Heck, I'll give you 6 months' time, but you're talking years before we get to the bottom of this.
You know, there was an old, it was a Liberal prime minister who said, Alex McKenzie, one of the few prime ministers who was not a lawyer, goes back to 1873. He said, you know, reform never ceases so long as there are sinners. What was McKenzie saying? He says, and he was a huge reformer, probably the first big reformer we've had. He's the man who invented created the Supreme Court. A lot of people don't know that was very controversial. Quebec didn't like it. They wanted their courts to rule. What happened in their provinces, I'm not getting sidetracked on minutiae here, Sean. There's a point. Reform is incremental. It always has been. Very frustrating. Always takes too long. Why in name of heaven would it take 7 years from Confederation to create a Supreme Court? Well, it did, and it was a big fight at the time. Enzi, he'd been a stonecutter. He was cheated on his wages on public works, and he passed the first wage protection law for contractors on federal works. Guess what? Happening right now, here we are. That was 1873. Here we are, 2023. The Department of Public Works is still working on regulations to guarantee prompt payment to contractors on public works. I'm not making that up. That's how incremental reform can be. But that's the only, I guess that's how it works. I agree, it's never fast enough. And sometimes people die. Advocates leave this mortal coil, Sean, before they see the fruits of their long-suffering advocacy for essential reform. But we stumble forward, you know, a step here, a step there towards the light. I guess it's the best we can do.
Do you think, I don't know the answer to this, but when you look around, you know, compared to the United States maybe, or maybe some different places in Europe, et cetera, and you look at the way we do things here in Canada, certainly we have a beautiful country. There's no argument there. But how we go about things, Tom, are you, I don't know the word, I'm going to say a loyalist to the way we do it, or maybe the word you've used, incremental reformist, but are there some things that you're just like, we really need to, you know, speed up the time frame on how we're doing things, because you can see glaring holes in our way of doing things.
Federal government? The federal government is dreadful. I've thought that for years. Great country, terrible federal government. It's expensive and mediocre. It's unbelievable. So many myriad examples of that. That's really a staple of our coverage, of how much these people spend, how much inertia there is, how little they achieve. The federal government is absolutely dreadful. And you know why? Because they don't have to be great. I remember I used to have an associate work over at the Senate. He said one time, he's talking about how the Senate was this, I'm not making this up. He said, the Senate is a stabilizing force in Canada, doing a great job. I said, you got to be kidding. I said, the Senate could burn to the ground. No one would notice for 2 weeks. What are you talking about? I said, I get it. You guys look around at Canada. You look at all the production of wheat and grains. You look at all the timber. You look at all the fabulous resources in the ground. You look at all this beautiful, hardworking people who created this extraordinary wealth, an economy worth $2.5 trillion, and you take the credit for that. That's wow. You know, it's not like they have serious problems. There's no rebels blowing up the power plant in the jungles in Canada. There's, you know, really, what's the big issue? They went to pieces because some truck drivers honked horns. I think our federal government is really very painfully average. I don't think there's anything to, no one, I tell you, you travel the world, no one, you will never hear anyone in South Africa or Belgium or the Philippines say, wow, you guys got a hell of a federal government, that you really got something. I've never heard that, Sean.
How do you, then in your mind, Tom, because I am curious about this, this answer will take time. This answer will be generational, you know, like something that, you know, you just don't flick a switch and all of a sudden your federal government becomes better. That doesn't happen. That is something that would take a long, long time. Is that just, it's going to take a generation that wants that type of change and something truly, I don't know, if it's horrible or whatever it is, has to happen in order for that many people to get involved to change it? Or is it too big? Is it just too big to have anything done to it? It is what it is.
I think we're still, I don't think we're still quite baked yet, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think this is the twilight of an era that's been around. Really, it's a post-war era, and I think it's ending. And what was the achievement of that era? You say, well, come on. I mean, I spent several minutes badmouthing the federal government. They must have done something right. They did. They stopped French and English, East and West, Catholic and Protestant, from going at each other's throats. And that was a singular achievement. Late Ted Byfield, who was really an Alberta nationalist, many, many people remember Ted Byfield. He said that was the singular achievement of the success of happened to be Liberal governments from the period of the Second World War. And I think he had something there. He said that this country, the number of countries that have had an aggrieved minority, like, for instance, French Quebec, that didn't fly apart, is a very short list. but we're on that list. I think we nailed that, Sean, and it's time to move on. And the numbers show, the long-term demographic trends show the country's moving on. You know where the fantastic growth is in the West. The population projections are simply extraordinary. And so I think that we're going to enter this new fantastic age. We have children, we have sons who are just entering the workforce. I think they're going to live in a very exciting time long after I'm gone. I think the country's going to get bigger and brighter and richer and more democratic. I think it's going to be fantastic. I don't think it is. The prospects are so unbelievable that I don't think anyone could screw it up, even if they wanted to. In Ottawa, I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
You know, Tommy, this is what I find fascinating about you. You're a man who follows the numbers, sees all the stupidity or ineptness or whatever word you want to tack onto it, I'm good with. And yet your outlook on the future is so, I don't know, bright, hopeful. Words that I don't use regularly, but a man probably should more often because of the amount of fear that has been pushed on in a population. You know, you got lots of doom and gloom pushed. And this is something that certainly isn't new. I mean, if you've followed news, which there's been movies written, songs written, stories written about how that sells and how people react to it and everything else. I find it fascinating that you following it as closely as you do, go, nobody can screw the, you know, maybe not nobody, but I get what you're saying. We're going to better places.
I think that's an absolutely rational response. I really do, Sean. And you just draw that conclusion from looking at yesterday. You know, you look at, let's just talk about Western Canada, for instance. I'm from Manitoba, and, you know, I lived in Alberta for many years. My wife worked in Saskatchewan. Western Canada is probably one of the few places left on Earth that's completely egalitarian. What do I mean by that? No one ever asks you, where did you go to school? When you live and work in Western Canada, no one asks what your dad did. There is no secret handshake. There's no old school tie. It is as close as you will get to a perfect meritocracy. There are people who come from the humblest backgrounds who have achieved amazing things in Western Canada and do to this day. Well, that's amazing. You do not find that, I'm sorry, even in the United States, which is increasingly a stratified society, Britain, France, Germany, Italy, forget it. If your grandfather was a janitor, your father was a janitor, you will be a janitor. Forget your big plans. You know what I learned all the years I lived in Western Canada? Everyone's got big plans. A lot of them are going to come true. That's the amazing part. I think that's the incredible part. I don't think any federal government can possibly drive that off a cliff. If they tried, it would get a little bit hot. But I think we're still that kind of country, and I think we will be for a long time. I just think that's magical. I really do. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
How do you pretend? Then, you know, it's funny. You got plans for an interview, Sean, and then I drive it this way. Funny how a Monday morning goes. Either way, Tom, how do you protect that? You talk about Western Canada, and I can't recall the last time anyone ever asked me where I went to school or what my father does or et cetera, et cetera. And certainly I do know of different parts in the world where that is certainly in the conversation. How do you protect that? Or do you just think we're just a young enough place in the world where eventually time will catch up to us all and that will become a fixture of it as well?
No, I think there's always tension. I think it's the story of, us, in particular, Eastern Canada, Central Canada. There's always this tension between that aspiration that people have and the fake aristocracy. Absolutely. In Ottawa, I mean, it's thick with it. These people would impose a fake aristocracy in a minute. You know, the first time in my life I was asked, where'd you go to school? It was in Toronto. Somebody, I don't know why, dragged me off to a cocktail party. Boy, that was strike number one. And someone asked me, where did you go to school? And I'd never been asked that question, and my wife was with me. She translated it later for me. Well, Vincent Massey High School, Brandon, Manitoba, what's it to you? Like, what? Why would you? Someone had to explain it to me that they, no, they meant, where did you go to school? So it had to be, I was thinking, what were you on the volleyball team? I don't remember. Yeah, no, it's there. Oh, sure. Oh, these people, they would want to impose that fake aristocracy in a minute. So how do you combat that? Well, just by being you. Everyone, just do your thing. And you, anytime you see that, you stamp that out. It is the story that has gone on since 1867. It is a never-ending story, and it must be stopped. And so far, so good.
You know, with a few extra minutes here, as you make me chuckle on this, I almost choked on my coffee a bit, Tom. I dragged you off to a cocktail party. That's that right there. That should have had a GoPro camera following you around for the night. I would have quite enjoyed that. One of the things you know, it has become ever increasing. I mean, geez. With this upcoming show, I'd mentioned in an email, I got this SMP Presents coming up, Legacy Media, with a cast of characters, if you will. Chris Sims, Kid Carson, Wayne Peters, and Byron Christopher. And I was curious if you know who Byron is, being in the media as long as you have, and then certainly Byron as long as he has. I was just curious if you knew who Byron was.
I confess, but it's my age. Don't hold that against me, Sean. There's a lot of people. Sometimes they have to show me a face and a name.
No, all good. Well, I it's funny to the listener. I would love to have had Tom come out to Edmonton for it, because obviously by now people know that I think awfully highly of your work and others that work alongside you. Either way, we're talking about Legacy Media and some of the issues that we've seen. One of the issues that has been, and I don't even know, it's been reported on so much, and then it just came off. I just saw it again. A friend who's been on the stage beside me before, Quick Dick McDick, had made a comment on one of your articles saying, you know, $1.8 million to travel to the UN conference on climate change, a million for hotel charges, $622,000 for airfares, and $27,000 on meals, flying 266 delegates to Egypt. What were your quick thoughts when you guys saw those numbers?
It's funny. That's a recurring theme, and I appreciate those comments, Sean. It's a recurring theme. There's always we think of it as an empty chair. There's always an empty chair in the room. When the Department of Environment says, "I know, let's burn through $622,000 in airfare," just imagine the emissions flying to Egypt, so the Minister of Environment can make a speech about saving the climate. And the empty chair is the taxpayer's chair. I say that all the time. We had an item the other day. The Senate wanted to give gold bracelets to employees. Kind of an attaboy. Make them feel part of the team. That's great. No object to that. Because the chair is empty in the corner of the room. There's no taxpayer there to say, wait a minute. I can't afford to give my wife a gold bracelet. You don't know what kind of year I had. What kind of blood, sweat, and tears did my people go through to get through this year so I could file my T4? That's the problem in Ottawa. They don't see the chair because there's no one in the chair. And a lot of them don't have the brains to imagine where the money comes from. That's why you get people like the Minister of Environment spending that kind of money to fly to Egypt. And he's going to do it all again this winter, because there's going to be another climate change conference and another. They can't do it on the phone, Sean. They can't do it by Zoom. You got to fly there in person. Yeah. The contempt for public money in this town is really something. It's always impressed me.
Yeah, it's just... it's such an interesting, listen, I tell you this every time you come on, Tom, and with time closing in on us, I'll, I'll, I, I'll say it once again, you know, I was pretty naive or green or whatever we want to call it before I started this podcast, and certainly partway into starting this podcast. But the longer you stare at it, you just go, like, they just don't care. Like you say, they're going to go, they're going to move on, they're going to keep pushing forward, and they don't understand, or they don't care to understand. Might even be the, you know, they just don't care where the money comes from. But we'll give you an attaboy because you're doing a great job. And oh, man, if there's going to be a little humor at the end of this, Tom, I'm glad you're bringing it, because I struggle with some of these stories, and some of these figures are just unbelievable in a time where, you know, the average taxpayer is struggling. You know, the cost of everything is through the roof. I mean, we don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that.
Some of the inflation figures are pre-pandemic figures. January 2020 to January 2023, spaghetti up 56%. 56% is like, what is that, like post-war Berlin? What's, you know, Sean, if you don't like fighting, this is not the business for you. I've always said that. So the day you stop fighting for some of these things is never. And you know, that's such is the life we chose.
Well, good thing I'm a scrappy little Saskatchewan boy, I guess, eh?
Let me scrappy.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you giving me some time this morning, and certainly look forward to when our paths cross again. Here's something for your brain. I might be heading out east here in the next couple of months, and would certainly love the opportunity to come shake your hand if I make it your way.
Well, I appreciate that, Sean. If you're going through Pearson Airport in Toronto, be sure to bring a cot, because you're going to be sleeping on the floor for a couple of days.
Fair enough. Well, Tom, you have a great day. Appreciate you giving me some time yet again.
You too, Sean. Thank you kindly.